Google has blocked some Australian news sites as a battle with the country's government intensifies. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The search engine said it's changed its algorithm for about 1% of Australian users as it conducts experiments to determine the value of its service to news outlets in the country. It comes amid an ongoing row with the government over whether Google should pay news companies to show their content on its search platform. From Sydney, the BBC's Shaima Khalil explains what happens now.
This legislation will force tech giants like Google, like Facebook, to go into negotiations with news outlets about payments when their content goes onto these platforms or these search engines. And if the parties are unable to reach an agreement, then a government-appointed arbitrator will decide for them about the payment. Now, Google is not happy about this at all. They said this is going to limit its service in the country. You know, the tech giants are trying to resist this tooth and nail. Mostly it's because they don't want to set a precedent. They don't want to do this in Australia and then have everybody else around the world saying, well, you have to pay our companies too in our respective countries.
So that's the view from the social media companies and the lawmakers. But what about the average Australian? What do they think about this rule?
I think that the average Australian, especially now, people are in need of accurate real-time news. The first thing that we do when we wake up is we use Google search to find out what the COVID situation is in the country in general, but just in our respective states and cities and neighborhoods. This is what you depend on day in and day out in terms of information that's going to affect your everyday life. Google, essentially their message is, we're not going to pay you. You need us more than we need you because we make you relevant. We make you available to people. And if we want, we can make your content disappear.
From Sydney, the BBC's Shaima Khalil. Thanks so much for your time.
Great being with you.
Checking the numbers now, European shares are off to a lower start this morning. London's FTSE 100 here is off 0.5%. That's after fresh figures showed the economy shrank less than expected last month, but appears to be on track for a double-dip recession. Over in Asia, stocks ended the session mixed, while shares of Chinese smartphone maker Xiaomi plunged 10% after the U.S. added it to a blacklist. A BBC data investigation has found only 8 countries on the African continent, including Egypt and South Africa, have adequate death registration systems. That matters for many reasons, including effectively rolling out a COVID-19 vaccination program. Here's the BBC's Kevia Cardoso.
To be defined as universal, a registration system needs to cover 90% of the population, according to the UN. In the wake of the Ebola epidemic and now COVID-19, having an accurate picture of who is dying, from what, and where is crucial when it comes to allocating resources and funding. Scientists say without effective data recording systems, the most vulnerable suffer, often women and children, when their data is excluded from government policy.
The BBC's Kevia Cardoso reporting there. Tomorrow, Germany's biggest political party will elect its new leader, and whoever wins stands a good chance of becoming the nation's next chancellor when Angela Merkel steps down in September. But filling her shoes is no small task, as the BBC's Marie Keyworth reports.
Angela Merkel is the most successful chancellor in the history of the German Federal Republic. These are big shoes to fill, so what's in store for Germany and its new leader? First, let's look at what kind of country she's handing over. For that, I spoke with Marcel Fratscher, president of Germany's leading economic research institute, the DIW in Berlin.
And the big plus that Angela Merkel has achieved is to steer the German economy through different crises very well, through the global financial crisis in 2008-2009, through the European crisis in 2010 through 2012, and also now in the pandemic. The government always managed to take decisive action.
With the coronavirus pandemic still raging and an aging population, Fratscher says the country's next leader will also need a steady hand when it comes to crisis management.
I believe we will see a period of forced change by demographics, global factors and the pandemic that will make the next German government have to move on important fronts.
There are 3 contenders to take the reins from Mrs. Merkel as head of the Christian Democratic Union, Germany's largest party. Millionaire lawyer Friedrich Merz, Norbert Druckmann, head of Germany's Foreign Affairs Committee, and Armin Laschet, prime minister of the nation's most populous state. Constance Stelzenmüller from the Brookings Institution argues that it's not just domestic issues that the new chancellor will need to contend with, but global relationships also pose an immediate challenge.
relationships with challengers like Russia and China that have become extremely fraught, and a transatlantic relationship that has nearly buckled under 4 years of Trump and will not be easy to repair with the incoming Biden administration.
Constanze believes that of all Germany's international relationships, it's the one with China that's going to need the most scrutiny from the new chancellor.
Germany's extraordinary economic success in the past decade and a half is due to its role as an economic hub of Europe, but also to trade with China. And it's only very recently that Germany's political leaders and the chancellor have become aware of and alarmed about the changed nature of China's role in Europe and its strategy towards Europe, which is one of bullying, exploitation, espionage, and coercion where necessary.
Angela Merkel's time as chancellor has been characterized as one of consensus and stability in Germany. The question is, what will her successor have to do in order to claim the same? I'm the BBC's Marie Keyworth for Marketplace.
Finally, with all this time at home, ever wish you could get paid just to do nothing for a while? Well, a Japanese man for $96 will eat, drink, give simple feedback, and nothing more. So far, he's fielded more than 3,000 requests. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.